Amen. We're going to mix it up a little bit, so I'm going to invite you to go ahead and take a seat today. As we're singing that song, I was actually reminded, just so funny, it came back, as I said, memories. The reason I even prayed that is because we're singing that song, and I remember I was in middle school, and my mom made me be in the choir. Anybody else's mom ever make you be in the choir? And I'm not talking church choir. I'm talking about, it was a choir called the Choraleers. You had no idea my background, did you? And so this one Christmas, we had this massive kind of Christmas cantata kind of thing or whatever that is. I don't know if that's a word. Maybe that's just church word. I don't know. But we had this performance and my parents came. They were so excited and they had no idea what we were singing. And so we were singing a Christmas season and they came and they were deeply disappointed because we sang every song in Latin or German. That's the kind of choir that I grew up in. And yeah, it was not good. And that's like southeastern Ohio, like very rural, like where that came from. I don't know. But the teacher had a vision, I guess, and we were going to carry it out. But I will tell you, when you come Christmas Eve, we will not be singing in Latin and German, all right? So I do want to remind you, Christmas Eve is, what is it? Is it Friday? Is that right? Friday evening coming up. And so I know many of you have already signed up online. I want to encourage you today, don't delay. Go ahead and go over to our website, christfellowship.me. RSVP, once again, that just helps us prepare and plan accordingly, get people spread out. It's looking like it's spreading out pretty good already. But I would encourage you to do that. It's going to be an amazing, amazing evening as we celebrate Jesus. And once again, as we celebrate in person Friday, reminder, we're not gathering in person here on Sunday. We're going to be streaming an amazing gathering online for you to enjoy wherever you're at, if you're traveling, if you're home, if you're going to be working. Wherever you're going to be, we're going to be doing that on Christmas Day. Advent. We've been looking at the coming of Christ, the arrival of Christ. We've been talking about his birth and the impact of his birth, but then at the same time, I keep referencing that as we think back to when he first came, we also look forward to his second coming, the second advent. When Christ is going to return and he's going to establish his rule and reign fully on the earth and going to wipe away every tear and there's no more disease. There'll be complete unity and oneness and there will be synergy and harmony with what God desires. So we're in the between, right? Christ has come, Christ is coming, and yet we're in the middle. And what we've been talking about in this Advent season is that Christ wants to not just be thought about in the past, not just to be hoped for in the future, but he wants to be experienced right here and right now. He said his kingdom is what? At hand. It's breaking in. It's coming in. It's not just a future reality. It's not just the past. It's, we live in the tension. It's here, but it's not fully here. Like his kingdom has come. Christ said, I've come to bring the kingdom, but we know that there's still brokenness on the earth, there's still hard things. And so what we've been talking about are these four areas, these four things. So we've talked about hope to start with, we talked about love, we talked about joy, and then today we're gonna talk about peace. How many of you want more peace in your life? How many of you this week was a little not very peaceful? Anybody else besides me? Like this week was an interesting week. We had a kid sick. I got T-boned in an intersection in my neighborhood. Not a lot of peace with that, right? Not a lot of fun. And so I'm like, God, I'm preaching on peace. Can I just get some peace? Like, I don't want to deal with all this stuff, right? And so the Lord, you know, it's so funny how he gives us opportunities to learn by experience. You know, you hear people say, you know, don't pray for patience. You'll have to learn patience. Well, you know, peace is interesting. And today our prayer has been, this whole gathering today is a time where we can all as a community take a deep breath. You know, I love the Christmas season. I love the lights. I love the songs. I love the generosity. I love buying the gifts. But what happens if we're not careful is we just get in the rhythm of just going really, really fast and we miss out on a lot. And so today our prayer has been, as I preach today, as we open up the truth of the scriptures, as we close with some beautiful, beautiful songs. We got an upright bass today. Who's excited about that? Like upright bass, violin today. Like I'm telling you, it's beautiful. And the reason why we're doing it the way we're doing it is because we want to, as a community, take a deep breath and enjoy peace today. It's our gift to you this season that in the midst of going crazy places and last minute gifts and all the stuff that we do, and we get our mind going so fast that we wanted to just give us all a moment just to be present. And so today, I want to talk about peace. I'm going to be all over the scriptures. So if you have your Bible, I'd love for you to go ahead and grab that. We're going to be Old Testament, New Testament. We're going to start where we started last week in Isaiah chapter 9. And then we're going to jump to Luke chapter 10. Same rhythm as we had last week. Peace. Yeah, may we experience your peace today, Lord. Experience your peace. So Isaiah chapter 9. This is a word that the Lord gave to Isaiah way before Jesus' coming. And it was a picture of what was going to be happening in the future. So I want to start with verse 6. This is where we ended last week in this passage. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Anybody glad that the government's upon Jesus' shoulders and not yours? Anybody glad, like, we don't have to wait for the right politician to come around and make all things right? Isn't that good news? Yeah, it's great news. The government shall be upon his shoulders, not a party, not a person. His name shall be called, and this is what he's called, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of what? Peace. Ah, Prince of Peace. Now look at verse 7. Of the increase of his government, whose government? His government, and of peace there will be no end. So his government is what we talk about, the kingdom of God. It's the rule and reign of God. That is his government. He is the leader of that government, by the way. And it says that that government, that kingdom, his rule and reign, there's no end to the way that it'll move forward. And he says, in the midst of that, as the kingdom moves forward, what else has no end is peace. Has no end. He goes on and says, on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Will it be us that do it? No. Who will do it? The Lord, because he's zealous to do it. It's him that's making this happen. And so Isaiah is speaking, as he's hearing from the Lord, he's speaking into what he's seeing, what he's hearing. And this day had not yet come for Isaiah. He said, there will be a day when there's a baby that's going to be born, and it's on him that the government will rest on his shoulders. And in that government, there will be no end. It'll be continual. It'll move forward. And in that government that moves forward, there will be peace that knows no end. And so hundreds of years later, we get all the way to Luke chapter 2. So if you're still with me, you can go to Luke chapter 2. It's going to be on the screen as well. And we see that the fulfillment of this baby being born, we see it in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read the whole thing, but Jesus is born to Mary and Joseph. And in verse 10, this is where we picked up from last week. And the angel said to them, the shepherds who were out in the field working graveyard, the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for who? Isn't that so good? All the people. For unto you is born this day, the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, what? Peace among those whom he is pleased. Other translations, and I think actually a little bit more clear translations, is peace or goodwill among men. So this seems we can like say, well, who is God pleased with? Well, we know that God loved the world so much that he sent his own son, right? And so he says, may there be goodwill and peace to all men, to those that he desires, which is all of us, by the way. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Oh. Peace. The Prince of Peace. There's peace that will be no end. The angels said, peace among men. This is why Christ came, to offer us peace. But what is peace? And this is the question that we have to wrestle with today, and a question I would ask you today. What is peace? Or maybe another question is, when is the last time you experienced peace? See, the dictionary term that we have in our language, peace is this. It's freedom from disturbance. It's a state of tranquility. It's the absence of conflict. It's peace. Now, unfortunately, if you have children, peace is not in your future, according to this definition. Absence of conflict. Anybody else have kids without conflict? I don't know. I don't have that. Freedom from disturbance, not a chance of that happening unless they're all fast asleep. State of tranquility. Oh, my goodness. So if this is the peace definition, like if you're a parent, like if you have a job, if you're alive, like this is probably gonna be fleeting. Maybe for a moment, like when I was driving my truck, like there was peace, but then when I got T-boned, like that peace went out the window. Boom, gone. But what if that peace is not the peace, really? What if that's like a minor little piece of peace? I crack myself up sometimes. Glad my wife's not here. She would be giving me the eye. Okay, so that's not the peace that we see in the scripture. The word peace that we see in the scripture, oftentimes in the Old Testament, is the word shalom. Everybody say shalom. So the word shalom in the Hebrew is a word that's also used for hello and goodbye. A little fun fact for you. My mother-in-law, every time she calls me, she answers the phone with shalom. She's not Jewish. She's my mother-in-law. I love her. Love you, Lacey. Yeah, so shalom. What does shalom mean? It's a Hebrew word. What does shalom mean? Shalom is translated peace. That's where we see it, peace. But it goes deeper, and this is what I want to unpack today. This is what this King of Glory has come to offer mankind, peace. This is the kind of peace, this shalom peace that he gives. It's a word that means harmony. I love this. It's a word that means wholeness, of completeness, prosperity. Not like prosperity gospel, like everybody's going to be millionaires, but that actually when we have shalom, that things are working the way they were created, that there's health, that there's wellness, that there's good balance. It's a word that means welfare. So this kind of peace that God offers us is not dependent upon a circumstance. It's not dependent on the absence of something. It's actually the presence of something. And what we see is that this shalom peace that the scriptures are inviting us into, that Christ came that we could have this kind of shalom peace, that it's available even in the midst of chaos. It's available even in the midst of great turmoil and destruction and pain and anguish. That kind of peace that God wants you to experience today is available in every circumstance. As I was studying this word, I came across a little work that a rabbi put together. He's actually from Houston, where we came from, Rabbi Robert Kahn. And this is what he says. He's looking at peace in the Roman understanding and shalom peace in the Hebrew understanding. And he wrote this little poem, and I thought it was really helpful. He says, one can dictate a peace. Shalom is a mutual agreement. Peace is a temporary pact. Shalom is a permanent agreement. One can make a peace treaty. Shalom is the condition of peace. Peace can be negative, the absence of commotion. Shalom is positive, the presence of serenity. Peace can be partial. Shalom is whole. Peace can be piecemeal. Shalom is complete. So today I want to challenge our view of what peace looks like. And I want to invite us as a community to step into shalom. See, this Prince of Peace that was born, the one that is here to bring peace on earth among mankind, his life was not marked with peace by the definition in the dictionary. Even as a toddler, there was crazy upheaval as he was growing up. There was a king who was threatened by this little baby king that he had heard about, and so he wanted to destroy all the firstborn. He killed all the firstborn in that region. How many of you know that's not a lot of peace? But the Prince of Peace said, come into the earth, right? But there wasn't peace on the earth when the Prince of Peace was here. Are we clear on that? Even as he became a man and stepped out into his public role and people began to know him as Messiah, there was anything but peace a lot of the times in Jesus' life. People were coming and lying about him. People were coming and saying things about him, questioning who he was. People were wanting to kill him. And eventually he was accused of something that he didn't do. He was wrongfully accused. He was put on trial. He was found guilty of something he didn't do. And then this Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom, it's the word there, the Prince of Shalom, he is brutally killed and beaten on a cross. I don't know about you, but that definition of peace in the dictionary doesn't quite add up, does it? So what if Jesus is offering us a deeper peace? A peace that transcends our conflicts. A peace that goes beyond our challenges. This is what Jesus offers us. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, we see a beautiful, beautiful text here. One of my favorite texts that Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. And he talks about peace, and he talks about what Christ did and how he is the Prince of Peace and how he ushers in peace. So this is Ephesians chapter 2. It's so beautiful. Now, he's speaking into the Jew and Gentile peace. Now, there was obviously a lot of conflict between the Jews and everybody that was not a Jew or the Gentiles. And so he's speaking into this conflict. He says, but now in Christ, you who were once far off, the Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Look at verse 14. For he himself is our what? Who is our peace? Jesus, right? He says that he himself, Jesus himself, is our peace, who has made us both one. So he's taken two and he's brought wholeness. He's taken the Jews and the Gentiles and he's brought them together. He says that he made the two one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. And he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, therefore killing the hostility. And look what Jesus did. He says he came and preached what? Peace to you who were far off, to the Gentiles, and also peace to those who were near, the Jews. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Shalom. Wholeness. Completeness. He took these two, Jews and Gentiles, that didn't want to come together. He said through the cross, he tore down the wall that was between them and the Father, and also the wall that was between the Jews and the Gentiles, so that they could what? Have their own little thing and stay in their own corner? No, so that they could what? Come together and be one. It's completeness, it's wholeness. This is what God has done through Christ, that he is our peace. We read this in Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are glad that we have peace with God? Right? This is the whole purpose of Advent. This is why we celebrate the Advent of Christ, the Advent of Jesus, was God's plan to offer shalom, peace to the world. So the reason that we can experience this peace today is because this little baby boy was born. That boy grew up, lived perfectly, And this king of the Jews didn't do what we expected him. He didn't come with military prowess. He didn't come overthrowing the government. He didn't come to start a new religion. He came to show us what love looks like. And he came to lay down his life so that both the Jew and the Gentiles, those that are far away and those that are near, could be made one through Christ, offering us peace, shalom with God, that we could be whole, that we could be complete once again, just like in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. This is the beauty of Christ. And so today, I want you to take a deep breath in knowing that God has made peace with mankind. And so today, I'm sure there's some of us in the room here, you're like, I don't feel like I have peace with God. And that is very possible. There was a season of my life where I was not at peace with God. I was running from God. I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want anything to do with the church. Man, that's boring to me. I didn't want to hear it. And so today, you may be that person. You may be listening online, and you're like, I don't feel like I have peace with God. I just want you to know, your lack of peace with God is not on God. And I say that in as lovingly as I can, is the variable in the equation is not God, it's us. That God has said, man, I want to love humanity so much. I want to be whole. I want shalom with my creation so bad that I'm gonna lay down my life and I am gonna make a way where there is no way, that so everybody can come back into shalom peace with God, can be one with God, can be whole with God. And so today, if you're like, man, I don't feel at peace with God, I wanna encourage you that God says, I have made a way through my son's life and death and resurrection that you could have peace today with God. And what I know about this peace is that it's essential. You see, there's no external peace without an internal peace with God. We read this in James. He says that the reason why you have all these conflicts and the reason you have all these arguments out here is because right here there's conflict. There's a raging war within you. And so it's a little futile, honestly, that we would be a people that seek peace on earth, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in the nation, in the world, and yet there's no peace right here. So Christ, he came to give us shalom with God, peace with God, that I don't have to perform, I don't have to try to make my own path. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So he made the way so that I could be one with God, but he also said, Derek, I want you to be whole. I want you to have shalom right here. I want you to know who I made you to be. This is a passion of our church, to help people become all that God designed them to be. We actually believe that God's fingerprint is on every person. Anybody else believe that? And so the beauty of Christ is he opens up the way to the Father, but also he brings restoration right here. This is the restoration he gives with God and with ourselves first. And when there's restoration here, when there's shalom here, when I know that I'm a created being in God's eyes, that I'm loved, that I'm chosen, that I am valued by God, that when I have that, then that peace can be here. And when I have that peace here, guess where it goes? Everywhere I go. And so I can step into a conflict zone, and that conflict zone doesn't have to be my conflict. That I can actually offer peace, even though it may not be received. That's why Jesus said, go into the city. If they receive your peace, man, let it go. If they don't, pull it back and go to the next. Listen, I want you to know that you're a person of peace. That doesn't mean everybody's gonna receive your peace. It's actually what Jesus said. And as a person who has peace with God and has peace within, and we offer peace everywhere we go, we also have to recognize that Jesus himself said, listen, in this world, you're gonna have trouble. And right before he said that, he said, listen, I wanna give you peace, and not just any peace, I wanna give you my peace. In this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And so if we wanna bring peace on earth, if we wanna see peace in our homes and peace in our workplaces, then we have to recognize that it first has to be peace with God and then peace with ourselves, and then we have the ability to usher peace wherever we go. And so today I'm praying, even as we sing here in just a little bit, as We have ministry teams at the end. If you don't have peace with God today, I'm telling you, he has made a declaration and he has made the way for you to have peace. It's you to receive it. Because here's the other thing I've learned about peace is that we cannot create peace, but we can choose it. We don't create the shalom. We get in the flow of it and we receive it. And once we receive it, then we can give it away. This is what 2 Thessalonians says. It says, now may the Lord of peace, I love that. This is the Lord that we're singing about. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I just want to take us the burden off your shoulders. It's not yours to create peace. You're called to be at peace, to receive peace from God through Christ, to walk in that shalom peace and to offer that, knowing that not everybody's going to offer it. Or no, not everyone's going to receive it. We aren't called to create it, we're called to choose it. And this is the challenge, is that you and I actually can choose things. And this is the responsibility, this is the invitation of God today, that in any circumstance, you and I don't create peace, but we can actually choose peace in any circumstance. We kind of like that because it kind of feels like we're part of it, but we also don't like it because then we have some responsibility, right? You can choose peace. I can choose peace in every circumstance. There's some scriptures here that I think help us understand this. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You keep him in perfect what? Peace. You know what? That's actually interesting when you look at the original language. Perfect is shalom. It's shalom, shalom. Two words back to back. So that word shalom, I said, is complete or perfect. That's what that word means. So they translate it to perfect. You keep him in complete peace whose mind is stayed on you. And the reason why his mind is stayed on you is because he trusts you. How many of you would like to have complete peace? In like just for a moment even. Like I just want it for a moment. But what Isaiah understood is that those that trust in the Lord keep their mind on him. And in that, as we are aware of God, as we recognize him, there's a peace that passes understanding. And so we see the same thing in Romans 8:6. It's the New Testament. It says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Today, I want to be really, really practical for a moment. Sometimes we can get a little out there, but I just want to really be practical and tell you with a lot of love, but kind of a pastoral truth is that you and I get to choose what we think about. And maybe even take a step further, that you and I, by and large, we get to choose what we take in that dictates what we think about. So I told you I want to be real practical here for a moment. I think one of the biggest hindrances to us being a people of peace is because we lack rest. Anybody else lack rest once in a while? Can we just be honest in the room? Let's just see a hand. Anybody else ever lack rest? Come on, show it. Let's participate here. Yeah, online. I know everybody's raising their hand probably, right? What I know is that, you know, I get a little crazy when I'm not a lot of rest. I get like a hair finger trigger, you know? I don't know if that's the right say. I get a quick trigger, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is I can go off like boom if I'm not rested. And I think all of us are like that. And I think honestly, while there's so many angry people right now after this pandemic or in the middle of this pandemic, I don't even know where we're at in this whole thing, but there's a lot of people that are just tired. We're tired of not knowing. We're tired of what's on the edge, what's coming next, what should I do? Who do I believe, by the way? It's a great question. And so I think part of the reason why people are so angry, whether it's driving, I don't know if you've noticed, but people are just angry right now. Like, have you guys noticed that, by the way? Or is that just normal around here? I don't know. I think, you know, 26, I kind of agree, but like when you're driving down Eastman Road, like, I don't know why you're angry. Like, it's okay. Like, but people just in general are angry, whether it's school boards and people getting mad at school boards or people angry at work and what, people are just angry. And I think a lot of that chaos, a lot of that is rooted in a lack of rest. Now, ask the Lord to give us grace that we receive this, but you and I actually get to have a role in our rest. We actually decide a lot. And specifically, I want to laser in on something that I just found profound. And once again, it's very backed by science and it's very practical. But I believe one of the things that could help all of us experience and live in the peace that God has for us is that we would sleep better at night. Somebody said amen to that. I like that. Amen. I love that, Ms. Morris. And so isn't it interesting that the scheme of this world is to actually rob us of good rest at night. And I just want to laser in on two things and just kind of pull the sheet off of what I think is robbing maybe you and maybe many people is think about what happens in many households right before or a couple hours before we go to bed, okay? So go with me and hang in there. I told you I'm going to be super practical in this point, but I felt like the Lord was on it and he wanted just to bring clarity to it. Here's the two things that happen in a lot of our lives. No condemnation, just receive it with grace. Is two things happen before we go to bed. Is number one, TV. Some of you are like, don't step on my TV box. By the way, YouTube TV, what's up with them? Anyhow, you know if you watch ESPN. Anyhow, TV, and the second one, social media. It's very interesting to me. So if you look on, and I'm not just talking about any TV, I'm gonna go there for a second. If you go to the news at night, primetime news specifically, on one of the big box channels, you can fill in the letters that you want there. Primetime, 7, 8, 9 o'clock, many of us are on that thing and we are not missing it, man. We're on it. And once again, news is not bad. How many of you know news is not bad? It's good to be informed. Anybody else agree with that? Totally good. How many of you know 24/7, not really what we're created for though? But what's amazing to me is like the news, we watch the news at night, about 8 o'clock at night, the primetime news spot, our favorite person, whether it's, you know, whatever side of the thing you're on, whatever you like. And what's amazing to me is we got to realize this. The reason why that news channel was on is to make money. Like, that's their primary goal, by the way. Not to inform you, but to make money. Now, they'll do that through information, that's fine. But the means of that corporation is to make money. Can we all agree with that, right? Like, they don't exist without making money. So what's amazing to me is they've realized that if they can get their base of people, once again, this is both sides and everywhere in between. If they can get you fearful, they know that you'll come back to the trough more often. And guess what? If you go back to the trough more often, guess what? Their marketing cost, they can charge more for that spot. And guess what? They make more on their bottom line. And so guess what their agenda is for you and for me is to bring us fear. And the more fear we have, the more we want to know more. And the more we know more, we get more fearful. And the more fearful, we got to know more. And so it's this amazing cycle. And we do this right before bed. I'm worried about somewhere other part of the world and I'm anxious about what's gonna happen and then I'm gonna try to lay down my head and go to sleep. Do you know that three things happen when we watch screens at night? And this is from the Cleveland Clinic, right? Number one, it engages our mind in a way that it can't rest. Number two, it suppresses our melatonin levels. Oh, you don't have to not sleep. I mean, never mind, I'm not gonna say it. No, okay. Three, it delays our REM. It's actually the blue light from the TV actually does, no matter what you're watching, but especially if you're watching news, man, I'm getting angry, I'm frustrated, I'm like, what's going on? And then I'm gonna try to lay down. I'm just telling you, you can't rest well when that happens. Your body's in flight or fight, right? Now, what's interesting, okay, that's news and that's happening, so you're welcome for that. But you know, the one of the top times that social media peaks is at 9 p.m. And I get why. So this is no judgment. Like, I'm totally there. But, like, the kids are finally in bed. Like, I just want to veg out. And so we start to scroll. And I don't know about you. Like, I don't know. There might be a handful of times I've ever looked at social media and felt better afterwards, like, about my life. And so, like, we're sitting in bed, maybe with the TV on at the same time. Like, we're all there. Like, I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying, like, this is our reality. I just want to wake us up today that we're sitting there scrolling on this as, you know, fear-mongering is happening on TV. And then I'm feeling like, man, I am such a loser. My goodness. And this person beside me, Lord have mercy, why can't they be like that? And look at that dog. I didn't even like cats, but it's pretty cute. Oh, my goodness. Man, they're traveling again. Man, I haven't been on vacation for 2 years. And it was not fun, by the way. Okay, I'm going to put it down beside my bed because I got to have it right beside my bed. And now I'm going to try to fall asleep and rest. So news network, fear, fear, fear. It's a powerful tool, by the way. We know that. We talk about that a lot. But do you know fear is also used by social media? You know what the biggest fear they use to get you back? FOMO. Fear of missing out. That's why most studies show that we pick up this little crazy device that wasn't even around 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We pick up this device hundreds of times a day. You know why? Oh, man, what did they have for lunch? Man, she wore the red shoes and not the black ones. Good choice. And we do this right before bed. And you know what happens right here? A lot of stuff happens right here. And when that happens, you and I, we can't rest. And so, like, super practical today is I believe that I can stand on firm foundation that the Lord wants you to rest every night. Well, anybody else agree with that? And I think one of the schemes of the enemy is to rob us of that rest, to keep us on edge where we don't walk in shalom. And so let me just rehash a little bit about what the scriptures tell us. He says in Isaiah 26, those that keep their mind or have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Romans 8, to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. I want to close by reading Philippians chapter 2 today. And then we're going to take some moment and we're going to actually put this into perspective. Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4. Like, this is so practical, guys. Like, it's insanely practical. And yet we miss it all the time. So listen to what Paul writes to the church of Philippi. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And look at how he closes this. I love how practical he is. He says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Practice these things. That means you're not going to be a master at it from the beginning. Put it into practice. Guess what? Try it and watch. Watch yourself fail. Try it. Practice these things and the God of peace will be what? With you. Oh. See, what we think about and the perspective from which we think, it regulates the flow of peace into and out of our lives. And I need you to hear that. And I think they got it on the screen. Can you guys put it up there? Yeah. Yeah, right here. This is so important. And this is really the truth I want you to leave with today. Let's go into worship. It's what we think about. So like I just talked about, like what inputs are you giving your mind, especially when we're going into a time of rest? What are you allowing to come into? What are you choosing to allow to occupy your mind? What are you choosing? And then not only are what you're choosing, but then as we think about things, what is the perspective, or how do we think about the things that we think about? That's a riddle for you. How do we think about the things that we think about? See, the peace that Jesus had was not a peace that was based on the lack of chaos, the lack of commotion, It was this connection that he had with the Father, that everything that he saw, everything that he thought about, everything that he witnessed was not from a horizontal lens, but was from a vertical lens. And so we as human beings, we get so preoccupied in what's right in front of us and here's what it is. And honestly, our peace goes out the window. Man, I get in a wreck. Boom, peace is gone. My kids are in an argument. Peace is gone. My spouse didn't take out the trash like I wanted them to do. My peace is gone. And I get in the street. And so oftentimes we're seeing through the horizontal when God says, listen, Derek, you are seated in heavenly places. You are actually above. You are seated above all the chaos, all the drama, all the political, who knows what, all the COVID, which one do we believe? All of that nonsense, all of that crazy right now, you are actually above that, not in it. So what he's calling us up to is say, man, I wanna have peace. It's good. Jesus said, ask and I'll give it to you. But that asking, it's an invitation for us to see as he sees. To recognize him in every situation. May the God of peace be with you. He says, those that keep their mind, stay their mind on him, there's perfect or complete peace. May the God of peace give you peace at all times. Paul says, practice these things. And what are you thinking about? And how are you thinking about what you're thinking about? So I just want to give us a moment before we go into this beautiful set. We're going to sing. It's stripped down. It's meant to be a really peaceful time this morning. But before we get there, I just want us to think about and hold up to the Lord just one thing. And so let's just ask the Lord, just all of us around the room. You can close your eyes if you want to, but let's just say, Lord, what is one thing in my life that's keeping me from being at peace? Why don't you just ask the Lord that? What is one thing that's keeping me from walking in shalom, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare? You got all kinds of things around the room that you're thinking about, all kinds of stories, all kinds of situations. So we just want to be honest today. We never want to try to fake it before the Lord. So we're just saying, Lord, this is true. This thing right here, it's keeping me from experiencing peace. Here it is. So Lord, as we hold this before you today, two things that I ask. First, you said that we don't have because we don't ask. So today we ask you, and just you right now, just ask the Lord to for his peace to flow into that situation. So Lord, we release peace in this room. And as we ask for peace, we invite you into it, the Prince of Peace. And so why don't you just ask the Lord to show you where he's at? He's already in the midst of your circumstance, whatever it is. Just ask him for some insight of what he's doing. Thank you that you're the God of peace. You're the Prince of Peace. Shalom. That's a beautiful word, Lord, that I want to experience more and more in every area of my life. My relationships, my emotions, my physical health, my relationship with my family, this church, this community. I thank you that we don't have to create it today, but we just receive it and we come into alignment and agreement. Lord, we want to be a people that practice these things like Paul talks about. That we don't just get hijacked by the things of this world. That we don't get surprised when things are spiraling out of control. And when there's darkness on the horizon, we don't get surprised, but we actually recognize that you told us it would happen. So Lord, may we be a people that walk in your peace. Lord, I pray that today as we sing these songs to you, about you, that there would just be a move of your spirit in this room that breaks off wrong thinking, that gives us vision for what you're doing and what you're saying. Or may we be a people whose mind is fixed on you. May we walk in that peace this season, but also every day. It's our right as your children to walk in peace. May peace fill this room today in Jesus' name. Amen.